But at this time, I turn over the microphone to Martin Hoshino for the Administrative Director's Report.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning, members of the public and other guests. The written report, as usual, is submitted in your materials, but there are some things that are not in there that I wanted to inform you to create some awareness about. There are a few things to note. Some of it is in the report, but most of it not. With respect to budget hearings, I think most people know that we are in the season of budget hearings. They are underway. We have had one hearing about our judicial branch budget in the Senate subcommittee that occurred on March 26. At that hearing, the committee held open many of our budget items, as it is really the hearing of first hearing. This is not all that in common. And so while there was a general holding open of some of our budgetary issues, they did, though, vote to approve the first-year funding for Proposition 47. They withheld consideration of the second year subsequent to some additional reporting requirements in terms of actual impact or effects of Prop 47. And again, in our prior reports and discussions, not all that unexpected, given that the proposal of the budget was coming in so quickly after the passage of the act just in November. We have on calendar our next hearing, which is before the Assembly Subcommittee 5 hearing, which will be next week on April 22nd. And so we are organizing in that regard. In fact, just this morning, I think even as we are speaking here at some time, there's a pre-meeting about that particular hearing. And so we have our staff in both locations trying to create coverage so that we understand the issues as best we can in terms of the agenda for next week. I want to take a moment to acknowledge the support of the presiding judges, the court executives, members of the civil and criminal bar, and others who have been working at the Capitol and testifying in hearings and speaking on our behalf in support of the budget. I do believe that it makes a difference and encourage people to keep up their good work and their good support in that endeavor. The next thing I wanted to note is some continuing court visits. I want to thank Orange County as well as Marin Court as well as Contra Costa. Between the last meeting and this meeting, I had a chance to go there. And they're more than just site visits. What they do for me is they actually broaden and deepen my knowledge and understanding. There's a difference between, I think, knowing issues and then actually understanding them. And so I get there and get to walk in their shoes to some extent and see what their challenges, their issues are, and more importantly, some of the good innovative work that they're doing down there, making all efforts to get the job done day in and day out. So it's really been an enriching, effective thing, and I want to thank them for that. And an example, then, on a third item of getting the job done, I want to make the council aware that there's an area where the council was receiving recognition in getting an important piece of work done. There was a 2011 report that was called the Task Force for Criminal Justice Collaboration on Mental Health Issues. And in that report, it cited that 18.5% of arraigned defendants and 23% of the California prison population was having serious mental illness issues. The council supported the task force's multiple recommendations for improvements in multiple principal areas. This response was viewed as proactive. It showed the commitment in partnering with criminal justice and mental health partners, which is really critical in promoting, one, improved outcomes for adult and juvenile offenders with mental illness, improved public safety, lower recidivism rates, and greater efficiency and cost savings. It's an area that, as you know from my background, I'm quite familiar with, and those were the numbers in 2011. And I can tell you at the time that I left that system, the numbers have even grown. At that time, a prison population of 23% is now at north of 30% and ever increasing. It is the fastest growing segment of the California prison population. And so that work at that time couldn't be more important, in my opinion. And it's not just my opinion. On March 18th, before this meeting, the Forensics Mental Health Association of California presented its highest award to the Judicial Council for its work in addressing the needs of mentally ill offenders. And this work includes support of the state's 46 mental health courts and all the work that it does to propose new processes in addressing mental competency issues, expanding online education for judicial officers, and conducting evaluations to identify evidence-based and promising practices. Our judge, Richard Loftus, who is the chair of the Mental Health Issues Implementation Task Force, received that reward on our behalf, and I wanted to take a moment to highlight that. and to really extend the props for the task force leadership and the staff in bringing their collective expertise to bear on this. I think it's important work that really does make a difference. And the next item to share is the California State Auditor audit. Last time we spoke, we had announced some of the changes that we were making, and it was prior to the submission, I believe, of our 60-day report or shortly thereabout that we were required to submit to the state auditor. We have since done so. We have some reaction from the state auditor's office. They are generally concurring that we've completed three of the items. In our professional opinion, we thought it was four, so we have a little bit of discrepancy on one of the items with the state auditor. We'll continue to work on that. At the same time, we had submitted our rough outline and schedule on how it is that we would manage some of the bigger things that we talked about in terms of organizational change and alignment and the like. Not all that unexpected, because we were concerned about overstating our ability to accomplish certain things. The auditor made a professional note that it couldn't some of these things, in fact, happen sooner or be accelerated, and so we are going to work on figuring that out. Again, we had the deadline at the 60-day, and we were a little bit nervous about overcommitting ourselves or overextending ourselves, because our commitment is to again, if we're for the things that we plan on doing, and we will do those things and actually hit the time frames that we say we're going to do in the first instance without having to change them. We continued again to work on things. We are still analyzing facility consolidation. We were actually in the implementation stages of vehicle things of the like, as well as writing policies and procedures in support of some of the deficiencies that were noted in that audit. We did have a hearing with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. It was an expanded hearing. It also concluded the chairs of the Budget Assembly Sub 5 Committee, as well as the chair of the Assembly Judiciary Committee. It was in March, again, well attended by some of the members of this council and judicial branch, and again, I want to thank them for their participation in that hearing. I think it made a difference. In his executive and planning committee report, I believe Justice Miller will report on some of the oversight processes that were continuing with the audit working group that was formed in response to the audit. My last thing of note is to mention the water conservation efforts in response to the drought. So I want to provide an update to us and how it is that we are joining the executive branch to do our part in terms of water conservation now and in the future. As you know, earlier this month, the governor issued an executive order on water conservation goals now that we're in the fourth year of an extreme drought. The council will be working closely with the trial court and the appellate courts to identify immediate as well as long-term steps to address water use at our court facilities. Our staff efforts are to plan on talking and taking some water conservation proposals to the Facility Policies Working Group next month, and we anticipate after that being able to present some proposals or some policies for the council to consider sometime in June. The policy or proposals will identify steps to meet the aggressive conservation goals that have been laid out, as well as some long-term design aimed at sustainability. We're also going to develop and share with the courts some data that we might have on baseline where we have it, so that we can bend the purpose of partnering and tracking the usage in our facilities. And last, we are going to take another look again at the construction projects to make sure that we're really building the most water-efficient facilities that we can have now as well as into the future. And with that, Chief, members, that concludes my report for this morning. Thank you.